You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Sounds. We are elated that you have chosen this broadcast on this evening, and we look forward to God blessing you. Stay tuned.
Then I'll kind of, you know, back up and talk about what we've been talking about for a hot second, because I want to show you something else that God has allowed me to see concerning. And I didn't get finished the last time. How many remember I told y'all we've been talking? I talked about it for 2 weeks, took a little break, let my wife minister this past Sunday. And so, daughter, do us a favor and praise the Lord and read verses 1 and verses 2.
Numbers 13, 1 and 2.
Yes.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan.
Hey, this word search, it means to find something that's missing from your life. Amen. Tell somebody the promises. There have been promises that have been missing from my life. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. And so he says to that they may search the land of Canaan. Amen. Canaan being the promised land. Tell somebody there's some promises that have been missing from my life. Amen. But I'm about to search it out. I'm about to find it. Come on, somebody. Oh, y'all ain't gonna get with me today. I'm about to find it. Hallelujah. I'm about to go searching. I'm about to go and see. Okay, all right. You know, let me say this here. Some of the promises of God, some of the things that God want to give you has nothing to do with your income. Hallelujah. You know, that's sometimes some of the biggest problems that, you know, where people begin to look at their income and how much they're bringing in. There's just some stuff that has nothing to do with your income that God wants to give you. Amen, somebody. I don't care if you're a multimillionaire. There's still some things that God wants to give you. And you know, and this is why we got to learn to see not just one side of a subject. Amen, somebody. Let me say this here. There have been some promises. There's been some things that have occurred. All right. Should I go there, Lord? You may be seated. Did you finish the two? No? Okay, finish reading that. Then I'll say what I'm going to say. Read.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, mm-hmm. which I give unto the children of Israel.
Uh-huh. He's going to give some stuff. Oh, Lord, he's giving it. He's giving it. I don't care if you got to borrow. Okay, all right. I'm going to say that again. I don't care if you got to go, if God tells you to go. Didn't the prophet tell the woman, oh, the widow woman, to go and borrow? Come on. He told her to go and borrow because it was to generate income. Amen, somebody. You know, come on, let me say this here. We're living in a dispensation. It's not like the Old Testament.
Amen.
Okay. All right. You don't become a literal slave. Amen. You may mess your name up if you don't pay what you have borrowed. Oh, glory to God. But some borrowing is to generate income. Come on. Come on. God, the Lord led the man of God to tell her to go and borrow. Come on. And as she borrowed, come on, it generated income and put her in business and paid off all of her debt. You got to be open to whatever God wants to do. So if God say borrow, then you go borrow. Come on. You use somebody else's money to get stuff done. You know you ain't got it anyways. Okay? All right. And then finish reading the rest of that, daughter.
Of every tribe of their father shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them.
Okay, all right, praise the Lord. Now, we've been talking about the imagination. Somebody say the imagination. I'm just going to kind of back up and review some stuff because we have some folks here, praise God. We have some new members here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that God created man in what? In his own image. Amen. In his own image. This word image, it means a representation of something. It's a picture or likeness. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. It's a picture or likeness. Amen. We look like God. We have some, you know, okay, all right. And so we see that God had a picture in his mind as to how he wanted to create us. The Bible says that God had finished the planet, finished the earth, finished the heavens. Come on. And he put Adam in the garden to do what? To dress the garden. Every one of you in here probably use your imagination this morning to get dressed. How you wanted your hair to be done. Come on. You imagine this thing. Come on. Oh, glory to God. I think I said it a couple of weeks ago that some of you all, you imagine what you wanted to put on, and when it didn't look like what you imagined, you put it back in the closet and grab something else.
Yes.
And so here he is, God allowing Adam to use his imagination, come on somebody, to work this the Garden of Eden and to beautify it. God gave you your imagination to give him glory. Okay. You say, well, how do you know that? All right, Romans 1:21. You don't have to go there, you can write it down. The Bible says, and when they knew God, they glorified him not. They didn't give God any glory. They didn't acknowledge God. Come on. They glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. This word vain, one of the meanings of this word vain is useless. Useless. God couldn't use their imagination. God started off using Adam's imagination. Come on. In the garden. Come on. To beautify the garden. I don't believe that it was supposed to stop there, but I believe that God was going to use man, come on, to beautify this planet. So when Adam and Eve fell, and some of you all, it's good that you hear this again. Come on, because sometimes we don't always get it the first time around. What did the devil do? Come on. He began to talk to Eve and tell her that this fruit will make you wise and it'll do this and do that. And then the Bible says, and when she saw that the fruit was good for food, okay, when she saw, in other words, she imagined. Come on, she didn't, you know, hey, she used her imagination. She saw herself literally eating it, biting into it. And what was the next thing that she did? She ate it. When she saw that it was good for food. And so he's been after man's imagination from the very beginning. The Bible says in Genesis 6:5 that when God saw the wickedness of man, come on, this word wicked means twisted. Come on, twisted. The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, come on, they didn't leave no room for God. The Bible says every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil. God couldn't use their imagination. They gave their imagination over just to do evil. I might as well hit that. I spoke it a little bit earlier. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says to cast down imaginations. Oh, glory to God. And every casting down imaginations. And every, now what kind of imaginations are we supposed to cast down? Everything that exalts itself against the higher knowledge of God. Everything is not exalting itself against God's higher knowledge. Give me a flow, son. Give me a flow. Hallelujah. And so we discussed about speaking what you imagine. Speaking what you imagine. Oh, glory to God. We look in the Bible, we see Genesis chapter 11. The Bible says that they went to build a tower. They began to imagine themselves building a tower under heaven. Come on. They got God's attention. God said, look what they have imagined to do. Come on. Look at the picture that's in their mind. Come on, the image that's in their mind. But not only did they imagine it, but they spoke it. They said it. And this is what's wrong with the body of Christ, is that you are imagining things. Come on. You are imagining happiness. Come on. You are imagining having businesses. Come on, somebody. But you won't open your mouth and say it. I look at some of the young people that have made it to the NBA and the NFL, and they'll say something like their moms will say something like, you know, they used to say, I want to play in the NBA. I'm going to be in the NBA. Come on. Not only were they imagining it, but they were saying it out of their mind. I wish I had a mindset to say it out of my mouth. Come on. When I was sitting there imagining myself, come on, playing on another level, I just couldn't, or I wouldn't open my mouth to say it. I wouldn't release it. Do you know, let me say this here. So when God imagined man and creating man in this heaven, oh glory to God, then God spoke it out of his mouth. Are you saying something? Come on. Oh glory to God. Y'all getting this?
Yes.
Look at this, Psalms 2:1-3. He says, even the heathens. He said, why do the heathens rage? why do the heathens rage? What are they mad about? Come on. Oh, glory to God. And then they begin to speak what they were imagining. God said it was vain. He says the heathens are raging and they imagine a vain thing, a useless thing. They're wasting their time. Come on. It's hard to box with God. I was looking looking on YouTube, and I did not realize that this boxing, I like this boxing. But I did not realize that he had called out Jesus Christ. Come on. Hallelujah. Who was that, Wilder? He was talking and they were interviewing him and Tyson, and Tyson began to say that, you know, hey, you know, I've given my life to Jesus Christ and he's my Lord and Savior and et cetera, et cetera. And then Wilder went all into this ancestral thing, like he had been watching too much of the Black Panther. Come on. And then he started going off and saying, your God against my God, your God against. And let me say this here. Boy, if he would have remembered when, who was that? Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson called out Jesus Christ, Holyfield. He told Holyfield, I'm going to beat you and Jesus in the ring. And he took one of the worst whoopings he ever took in his life. And Wilder came out, come on, with his Black Panther Skeletor looking suit with demonic eyes, and I was like, what the what? Come on. But he took one of the worst whippings in his life. You did not. Your arms are too short to box with God. You can't call out Jesus in the ring like that. It was almost like Tyson Fury had supernatural strength. In the first round, he went over to the side of the ring and he was spitting out blood, come on, in his corner. The second round, he was bleeding out his ear. They couldn't stop the blood from coming out of his ear. The fight was over. By the third round, they just was showing him some grace and letting him go. You know, I mean, finally his corner threw in the towel. You don't call out Jesus Christ. Every boxer that I've ever known to call out Jesus Christ got beat down. Come on, somebody. I'm just saying. And I like Wilder. Okay, all right. Don't get me wrong. And then we begin to talk about God knows what you are imagining. Come on. We're in the 1 Chronicles, let's just go there right quick. Amen. 1 Chronicles 28, let's go to verse 9. I want to show you something. The Bible says, and Solomon, and thou Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart,
yes,
and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. In other words, God know what you're thinking. Come on. The Bible says he's able to do abundantly beyond all that you ask or think. He know what you're thinking. He know what you're imagining. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Let me say this here. God is giving us an imagination. Come on. You know, it's to give God glory. When God says your imagination, when he says that man's imagination became useless to him, he gave him something because it's the building block for your future. Oh, glory to God. You know, Jesus, I'm about to get all into the message here. There are places that your imagination is so powerful. I was sharing this the last time. Your imagination is so powerful. Your imagination can change the form of your body. Jesus. If you believe and you begin to see yourself being pregnant, if a woman thinks that she's pregnant and begin to believe it, come on, her stomach will begin to swell. That's how powerful your imagination is. Your imagination is so powerful. You know, I was telling the people, I don't know if it was the week before last, or I said that one of my customers, he walked out the shop, put his glasses on, and he drove off, left. He came back, and he came back about 10 minutes later and said, I left my glasses. And I'm looking at him, and the glasses are on his face. Come on. Your imagination has the ability to turn off your sight. He couldn't even see the frame, come on, or feel the frame on his head. That's how powerful your imagination is. Your imagination will allow you to override your will. Some stuff just dangerous. Some stuff I wouldn't even do. Come on. Hats off to the Wright brothers. Come on. Oh, glory to God. I don't even know if they knew about landing. My God. They just wanted to fly. Come on. Hats off to them. Because, you know, especially when I see these guys on these motorcycles. Come on. Now, you know your mind, or at least my mind is saying, no, I'm not going to try that. But some people imagine doing it. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And because their imagination, because they see it and they see themselves doing it, oh, glory to God, they do stuff that no other man or nobody can do. Imagination can take you places that you know you ain't got to go out into space. Come on, you've seen enough pictures what outer space look like. Your imagination can take you out of space. Come on, your imagination, you can stand on the moon without going to the moon. That's how powerful your imagination is. Y'all getting this? And so you're not limited by your physical body. But your imagination allows you to go some places that you wouldn't normally be able to go. Oh, glory to God. All right, let's go now. Now, let's get on back over to, I think I've hit enough of that. Let's go back over to Numbers chapter 13. Anybody getting this? All right, praise the Lord. Talking about the imagination. Your imagination. Oh, glory to God. I won't say that now. And so we see God. He's telling Moses. He said, I want you to send some leaders out. And I want you to send these leaders out. And he began to name the leaders from chapter 3 to chapter 15. And then verse 16 says, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. And the Bible says in verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountains. Come on, start from the bottom and go to the top. Me and my wife, one of the things God just began to, you know, I don't know, stir my heart to go over to the I in Orlando. And it's I think probably the tallest structure over there allows you. It's a big old giant Ferris wheel, and it takes you up real slow. It takes about maybe 15 minutes to make a cycle. And when you get to the very top, you can look at all of Orlando. Come on, you can do a 360 and see all of Orlando. Over 4,000 square miles. What am I saying? I'm saying that okay, not too much ground to cover. And so he said, go see the land. Because some of you all, you won't go, and I believe that this is a time when God is getting ready to do things for the body of Christ like never before, but you won't get up and go see what's out there. If you see it more than one time in the Bible, apparently God is telling you something, right? Okay, all right. Well, didn't God tell, who was that? Didn't God tell this old guy named Abraham to go and walk in the land and see the land? Come on. See the land, check the land out. All right, do we need to go there? God told Abraham to go and see this promised land, this land of Canaan. Didn't own the land. But God says, I'm giving it to you. Now, I just want you to walk to and fro throughout the land. And here he is, he's walking to and fro throughout the land, checking this land out. Come on, that other folks are in, but he knows that it's promised to him. All right. Some of you all got some houses out there. There's some cars on the parking lot with your name on it, but you won't go and see it because you can't see yourself past where you at. You can't see yourself in a Mercedes, so you won't go and drive a Mercedes. You won't even go test driving, okay? When Moses told them to go and see the land, come on, he gave them some instructions. He said, see the land, see the people that dwell in it, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, what the land is like, how good it is, how bad it is, the cities, the this, the that, in other words, how lean it is. He told, in other words, bring back some description. Describe it. Come on. Some of you all, you don't even know if you like wood. You don't own your floor. You don't even know if you know, because I used to be like, I want no wood on the floor. And then next thing you know, I walked in this fabulous house with this beautiful wood, because all the wood that I was ever used to was the wood on my grandmama's floor. And if you hit the wrong spot, squeak! And all of a sudden, I walk into this house and look down on the floor, and I was like, what the what? Because I didn't even know they built stuff like that. Come on. I didn't even know they had these little, what do they call these, self-closing cabinets or whatever, these soft-closing cabinets. Come on, somebody. You walk in and they got two and three shower heads in a shower. You just used to one. Come on. And they got, everywhere you turn, you can go and take a shower here, a shower there, a shower, or you can have it coming from overhead. Because sometimes we can't see past where we at. It's a bigger world out there. Come on. And so he said, go and see the land. Oh, glory to God. You know, because some of you all, let me say this here, some of these movies are portraying what really happened. God gave them houses that belong to giants. Okay, all right. Some of you all, you around here, you feeling good because I got 10-foot ceilings. I got 10-foot ceiling. Come on, oh, glory to God. Some of these giants were 14 feet tall. Some of these giants were big. Come on. See, we're used to, you know, 8 to 10-foot ceilings and stuff like this, right? Can you see a giant in a house that small? He'd be walking bent over like this. And so when they described the place, they said the walls went up to the sky. Come on. The houses, you know, later on you're going to see they begin to talk about the houses. They're going to talk about the beds. Come on. This one particular king had, I mean, this bed, I think, was 10 feet wide. You could roll from one side to the other side. Come on. And so sometimes we're watching television and we see these little old huts, these little old, you know, little crazy looking houses. No, God gave them some houses. When you look in the Bible and you see God's first initial plan for man, he put him in the Garden of Eden, and Eden means what? Paradise. Come on. God put him in a blessed place, a nice place. God hooked them up. Come on. He put money all in the garden. Stuff that you can't even describe. This was God's original plan for man, to bless him. I mean, this is not all to it, but you know what? Sometimes you can't receive. Okay, all right. Sometimes you don't have the capacity to receive what God wants to do for you. You know, it's just like that bottle right there. Come on. If this bottle's not empty, then, you know, it can only take so much. But if this bottle is empty, I can pour a whole lot more. Come on. And so sometimes our thinking is too small. The Bible says that God, my son reminded me of something that I preached back there in the back. The Bible says that God gave Solomon largeness of heart. Because sometimes our thinking is too small, even too small for God. You know, it's amazing that God says, I can do abundantly beyond all that you ask or think, but sometimes God ain't even got to work hard with some of our thoughts. Because we're thinking too small. Sometimes we're thinking about just us getting blessed, but God wants you so blessed that you can bless and help other folks. You know, we were having a meeting one day with some folks, and we were talking about how to send people, missionaries overseas, and we were at this one Christian man's restaurant, and he said, I just, you know, later on me and him were talking after the meeting, and he said, I just want enough for, you know, just for me and my family, just to, you know, keep the restaurant going and such, and I said, well, you know, I said, that's false humility. I said, how are you going to bless God's people? I said, if you were to think past what you're thinking, come on, we wouldn't even have this meeting about sending these missionaries overseas. You could just go in your pocket and say, here, you know, go ahead and go. Yep. Small thinking. God, let me show you something. God told Abraham in Genesis 15, 4 and 5. God says, I want you to step outside. I mean, before God had made him a promise, and I believe God had, you know, spoke to him about a son, but God told him, this is what your seed is going to be like. He says, now look up at the stars and count them if you can. Come on. In other words, can y'all really understand what God was saying? God was saying, all these stars that you're looking at, come on. This is what your seed is going to look like. In other words, see if you can put a face on each one of those stars.
Thank you for listening in to Kingdom Sounds. Be sure to listen in Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Our service times are Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. and Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. If you have a prayer request, you can send it in to VIPMinistries@att.net. We are located at 250 North Babcock Street in Melbourne, Florida, 32935. VIP is empowering God's people to overcome what's overcoming them and mobilizing them to impact society. Our prayer is that God will bless you and keep you, that He will make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be blessed.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Man Park, cooed the Saturday Night Live narrator. It's like a dog park for guys so they can make friends and have an outlet besides their girlfriend and wives. Well, that sketch was from about a year ago, but it points to an unfortunate reality that men really are in this culture in crisis, struggling with a loss of purpose, a loss of relationship, and a loss of a sense of usefulness. A January 2021 report from the Institute for Family Studies noted that, quote, girls are outperforming boys at every level, from elementary school through graduate school. Now, that's not primarily because girls are somehow succeeding or overachieving. It's because, as Andrew Yang with the Washington Post wrote, quote, boys and men across all regions and ethnic groups have been failing, both absolutely and relatively, for years. Since the